What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Nice to have you here. Lots of show to get to. Let's not waste time. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. If you know what you want to talk about, hit me up right now. My first interview is not until 40 past hour number one, so our phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. No shortage of ways to go. Pick up a topic, hit me up, get through the call screener, Adam Hawk. Get to me, I'll get you on the air. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Or you can follow me on Twitter. That's always good. Hit me up at Jim Rome. And we still take emails, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We are talking to Marcus Howard at 940 Pacific, Marquette Golden Eagle senior guard. That's coming up in about 35 minutes. Next hour, Mark Stein from the New York Times. In hour number three, Florida State head basketball coach Leonard Hamilton. Monday is an ATP day. Let's get started. NBA All-Star Game was yesterday. So if I'm going to start the program by talking about the national anthem, that's never a good thing. And normally a sign of worse things to come. It is a notoriously difficult song. Everybody's going to come at it differently, which is the point, right? If we wanted a carbon copy anthem every single time, we would just hit play on a tape recorder before every single game. I will say this. It's also pretty tired to come in here the next day and just clown the national anthem. Easy to do, tired, cliche. I'm not doing that. I will say that I'm aware that the anthem was performed yesterday, just as I'm aware that it was different. How am I aware? I saw it. I watched it. Or as Questlove tweeted, quote, "I'm not watching the All-Star game, but my phone is ringing off the hook. My guess is someone did a weird Star Spangled." Right. And that somebody was Chaka Khan. I'm not going to call it weird. I'm just going to say that it was a Chaka Khan version of the anthem. This is what you get when you ask her to do it. They say that when you sing a song, you should make it your own. Well, Chaka did exactly that. And the road gets red, 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 red. The bombs bursting in air. All right, so that was just a part. And if you're one of those people who put money down on the anthem, I've got two hopes for you. One, that you took the over. And two, that you get yourself some help. Because getting down on the anthem length at the NBA All-Star game is a cry for help. Now, you can dislike that version of the anthem if you want. I'll support you in that. But I'll tell you what I will not be doing. I will not be comparing Chaka Khan to Fergie because they are not in the same league. The Queen of Funk was doing her take on the anthem. Fergie was trying to take the anthem to bed. For the land of the free. Just putting your spin on it. There's taking part in artistic flourish. And then there's trying to get nice with it. Then there's trying to sex up the anthem. Literally. Yeah. The thing is, they actually still had time for a game after the anthem. And it was a game. Like, seriously. Here are words that I'm not sure I've ever said before. That All-Star game was good. Like, really good. I liked it. I liked almost everything about that game, including Common's pregame introductions of the players. I thought that was cool. I actually thought that was very cool. Right down to the fact that he somehow fit Giannis Antetokounmpo into a verse.
The reigning MVP can drive the lane with no refusal from the Milwaukee Bucks. The captain of the team, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
All right, so no, I don't really care that that was an approximate rhyme. That was a man's game by Common. The easy way out would have been to go with the Greek Freak. But he went the hard way. And he nailed it. Came really close. And then there was the game itself. when they first announced the new rules for the game and the fourth quarter, I got to be straight, I was really confused. There was a target number, there was a chasing number, there was an untimed quarter, there were all sorts of different language. In other words, the league could not have done a worse job explaining those rules initially. And people were rushing in with their complaints about how it was going to ruin the game. Yeah, like that really mattered. Like the sanctity of an All-Star game is something to really treasure and cherish and pass down from generation to generation. Like, whatever you do, don't ruin the All-Star game. Yeah, don't ruin the one thing that nobody really cares about anyway. But as weird as the initial explanation was, and it was never going to be as bad as Bud Selig making it count, because it's just an All-Star game, and if it didn't work, it wasn't going to mean anything for the rest of the season. But even better, it did work. The Elam ending was pretty damn good. Because once everybody realized that all it meant was that the winner had to get 24 points more than the leading team's total after the third quarter, which was one of a number of tributes to Kobe over the weekend, when everybody understood that and everybody got it, it was pretty cool. It was essentially like a game to 11 or 21, like you'd play in pickup. Now, we could talk about whether or not a game should end on a free throw or free throws the way it did, but that fourth quarter was really damn good. And there was some serious intensity at both ends. You had Giannis blocking LeBron.
Commercial free fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. All basketball. LeBron on a spin. Rejected by Giannis.
Here's your defense you wanted, Marvelous.
And then doing it again.
All right, here's LeBron.
That's good.
You might want to challenge that.
I think they are.
If you're Nick Nurse.
I think they are. Wow.
The hell is going on in this All-Star game? Then you have LeBron locking up Giannis. And then Giannis diving out of bounds to try to save the ball.
Giannis spinning his way. Played by LeBron.
Yes. And look at the rules.
Giannis went down.
And look at LeBron James.
And it wasn't just block shots. You had guys fighting over screens and denying entry passes. Denying entry passes in an All-Star game. Are you serious about that? There are some regular season games where guys are not fighting through picks or denying entry passes. Yet they were doing it like crazy in an All-Star game. There was even a replay review of a block in an All-Star game. And even that review was tense, which has got to be a first, right? And then you had Kyle Lowry taking a charge in an All-Star game. No, correction. Taking two charges in an All-Star game, and that's got to be a new record. There was this one.
Intercepted by Leonard. Leonard moving on Lowry. It is an offensive foul. A charge.
He finally got it. Kyle Lowry finally got the offense.
And then even better, this one with the game on the line.
With a three.
That is pretty awesome. And of course, Lowry would be the guy to do it because that's the kind of intensity and heat that he brings to the game every single game. Harden made the shot, and that's the shot that would have put Team LeBron at 157 and would have won the game for them. If Lowry does not take that charge, the game is over. So it was a game-saving charge. Until Anthony Davis ended it.
Pressure free throw for Davis.
And now you got to box out, too. Are you kidding me?
Oh, Team LeBron has won it.
All right, so a little bit weird and not great that it ended on a free throw. But don't come in here and tell me the basketball games can't end on a free throw. Because they do all the time. Either a free throw to win it, or a free throw to ice it. But I'm sure the league can tweak that for next year if they want to. Check out Giannis talking about the game.
Especially in the fourth quarter, you know, the defense got tighter. Guys would hit one another, every position count. It was kind of, you had a little bit of playoff intensity out there, so I kind of, I love it. I hope they can keep the same format for a lot of years. And I think people had fun, we had fun, so that's what it's all about.
When was the last time you heard a player, or really anybody for that matter, referring to the All-Star game as being played with, quote, a little bit of playoff intensity, end quote? I mean, that's crazy. And what's even more crazy is he's right. That was not a guy trying to sell the format on the league's behalf or saying something he didn't believe. He didn't have to. The results speak for themselves, and so did the players and the coaches who kept talking about the game and how intense it was. I mean, it really was great. Seriously. I can't say how many times I've rolled in here the day after and said, man, that sucked. That was the worst. Not this time. That was a great All-Star game. The league made some changes, they took some chances, and it paid off. Good luck topping that next year, Indy. Let me again say something that I'm not sure that I ever would have said before. Something that I'm not sure that I ever thought that I would say. That was a damn good All-Star game. A really good All-Star game. 1-800-636-8686. Now, about that dunk contest. Might need to do a little work on that. All right, so in addition to that game, if you've got your thoughts and the format, about the format, and you want to talk about it, hit me up. I've got open phones right now. Other topics. You know, that Astros thing obviously is not going away. Rob Manfred continues to have himself an offseason, and by that I mean a really bad one. He was probably really happy to see that All-Star game. It took some of the heat off him, but not completely. I have an update on that story as well. In addition to that, Tiger Woods. Hey, honks. How good did that feel when he came out and he shot 31 on the front nine on Thursday? Man, it looked good, didn't it? I felt pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be very honest about this. I normally don't do it. I really haven't done it. I got a little action on the cat this week. I thought that I would take a shot at that. I mean, I understand this guy's horrible at Riv, always, for his entire life. That had to change, though, right? He's coming off a good year. It just seemed like it was one of those freaky, freaky occurrences. This guy had to have a look at it. Then he comes out and he shoots 31 on the front nine. And I'm like, man, I'm smart. And this guy's got a little something for everybody. He did, didn't he? DFL. Dead freaking last. In a tourney he hosts. In his own backyard. Amazing. And remember last week I said that I was cautiously optimistic after week one of the XFL. But I want to rush in. I didn't want to go all in. I needed more of a sample than week one. And that's why. As good as week one was, week two was pretty horrible. This email reads, Dear Jim, our new NBA All-Star Game format was such an overwhelming success, we have decided to further improve the event by adding the following facets next year. Must win by 2 points. Chain nets, shirts versus skins, and illumination to be provided by headlights of cars parked around the court. Pickup gamely yours, Adam Slicktop Silver, NBA Arena DJ. Signed Denlesks around the world and horse champion for the past 19 years. I could have done that, Denlesks. I could have gone that way with it. Except the difference is I liked it. Hey, Rome, I can't understand all the outrage at Rob Manfred for turning a blind eye to the Astros cheating scandal. I wish he was the commissioner of the PGA. Signed, Patrick Reed. Fat. Brian and Charlotte wore Rome, adopting baseball's new rule and having to face a three-caller minimum before Alvin can run one. The rules on this show are fine. One, because there really aren't any. Don't self-gloss, have a take, don't suck. It's not that hard. So being that there really aren't that many, I don't need to change the ones that we do have. They've worked really well for about 25 years. Hey, Romy, are there any family selfies of the Hawk family from Riviera to share with the jungle? I'm presuming Hawk had a scowl due to the fact that his hero Tiger was chopping it up in L.A. and finishing DFL, and Mrs. Hawk sporting an identical scowl for her husband's lousy Valentine's Day plans. Mike in St. Paul. I don't know. I have not gotten with Hawk about his weekend yet or how that went for him. Damn, Mike. You're working hard. Wells. Thank you, Mr. President. Wells in the 360 tweets. The NBA All-Star game was cool and all, but can we give James Kelly a shout-out for that easy XFL cover on Saturday? Flight deck. War flight deck making me money. He did. He did. I think that's the only one I cashed all weekend. All right, you have your telephone number. If you don't, let me give it to you one more time. 1-800-636-8686. Did you like the new All-Star game format or not? Did you like that matchup? What did you make of the All-Star weekend? Did you get out to Riviera if you're here in SoCal? Hawk did. Tiger did. And I've got a lot more to get to, including Marcus Howard, Mark Stein, and Leonard Hamilton. It is O-Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, so you want to stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O-Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. If you're not an O-Rewards member yet, don't sweat that. Head on over to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store and sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, it's free, but hurry. Double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. So when your car is not stopping the way it should, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies that you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you make your experience there a good one. Maintenance and restoration projects will be easier. Stop in today or visit online and rack up double O Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This guy just cannot help himself. He can't stop. Dear Jim, very wrong of you to make Ike work on President's Day. I suppose you also require Alvin to report to duty on Father's Day. Hawk to roll in on Rosh Hashanah. And Reese McGuire to come in and lend a hand on Palm Sunday. Observing Lior's Denlesks. Huge D-Day celebrator. I don't know. If I'm working today, should Nike? Shouldn't all of the XR4 Ti? Sean Beasy tweets, there's one thing that can screw up next year's All-Star game. A healthy Kyrie Irving. No, all I said was good luck, Indy. Do better. Good luck doing better. Marcus Howard's going to join me at 40 past. So let's go back to golf for a minute. Tiger Woods did shoot 31 on the front nine on Thursday at Riviera. Nine holes in. What that meant was you had the same tired Tiger honks, high-fiving it out in cargo shorts, yelling like jackasses, and preparing their red shirts for Sunday. At that point, if you ask them, it was not a matter of whether he'd win, but rather how much he'd win by and how much those tools would cry when it happened. Then he shot 38 for the back nine Thursday. But you know what? Going out in 31 and coming back in 38 was still pretty nice. Then came three bogeys and a double on Friday for a 73. Suddenly, the Tiger Bros were sweating it out. Maybe he was not going to win. Maybe he was not going to make history in SoCal this weekend. And if that was a question on Friday, it was answered on Saturday with a 76. But at least that was rock bottom, right? No way he can go lower than that. No way he can shoot worse than a 76 on Sunday, right? Wrong. 77. A 70 freaking 7. The guy went out there and he Ray Borked it. Look that up, Hawk. I know it's your idol. Ray Bork. Look that up. You know who that is? Yeah, I didn't think he did. He Ray Borked Sunday. Tiger's back, baby. Back to having a bad back. Back to having even worse rounds. Back to Raymond Borking it. Back to looking like some guy who slipped under the ropes and got to play in a PGA event instead of the guy who used to dominate practically every event he ever entered. Seven bogeys and a double. Not just a bad Sunday, but tired for the most he's ever had in a final round. Played the final six holes in five over. And man, did he look like he just wanted to get the hell out. Like he was ready to pack up his bag after 9 and head straight to the courtesy car. But at least he still maintained his trademark sense of humor with some great zingers that he had loaded. Quote, I did not do much well today. Good news, I hit every ball forward, not backward, and a couple sideways. End of quote. Hey-o!
Hey-o!
If you can't win, you may as well laugh, right? He went on, quote, I've been in this position many times, unfortunately, just keeping fighting hole by hole, shot by shot, and try to make some birdies, which I did not do. I made one eagle at the first, his 10th hole, but that was about it. End quote. So now it's important when you work in this business that you have to remain objective. I'm talking about myself. Like, you can't go all fanboy in any direction, on any issue, because the moment you do that, you lose all credibility. I've said it before, I'll say it again, they pay me not to root. Not only do I not root, they pay me not to. It's important that when you tune in, you know I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to give you the truth instead of what I hope would happen or what I would want to happen. You go fanboy and you're just another run-of-the-mill honk or tool. If I do that as host of the program, then I'm no different than some of the tools and honks who email or tweet the program. That said, in the interest of being fully transparent yet again, I did put a little dough on that event. I did. I put it down on, wait for it, Tiger Woods. Again, I've always said this. I'm not a guy that needs to bet on games to enjoy games and never have. But as the world starts to change and gaming becomes more of a thing, I just dabble a little bit, right? I just dabble because I know a lot of you do, and I want to be able to talk about it a little bit. So I dabble a little bit. Nothing like, I don't know, flight deck. But I did. I got down on Tiger Woods, dropped a couple of nickels, pennies, whatever it is, on Tiger Woods. I put money on him to win. And he finished DFL, dead freaking last, 22 shots back of Adam Scott. That was reminiscent of the disaster at the Memorial in 2015 when he went DFL and he was 8 shots back of the second to last place guy. But it does not influence me or this take. You've heard me talk about this guy for years. I mean, does this sound like any different a take than I've had in recent years? I'm not mad. Not only am I not mad that he finished DFL, I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious that the one and only time that I ever bet on this guy, he happened to get completely lapped by the entire field in an event that he hosts, in an event that he grew up not that far from. Reminds me of the time that we were broadcasting trackside when we had a horse named Royal Punisher that we ran. Remember that? Really quickly, we were stretching the horse out. In other words, he had been a sprinter, and we wanted to go a little bit longer, and we didn't know whether or not he could get the distance, so he did what he did. We're courtside, or trackside, we're hyping it all up. The horse comes out of the gate and is running great up front, and I'm like, but I knew better. I knew that he was a sprinter that we were trying to stretch out, and sure enough, this horse went from first to worst and came in dead last, and we were on the air when it happened, a horse that we owned. Reminded me of Tiger.
We still have Deal Breaker going on, and Deal Breaker now bursts away from the pack. They came right to him, but he had a second gear, and he kicked away from them. And Deal Breaker and Rafael Bejarano striding home to win by 3. Mr. Hot Stuff gets up second, On Fire third, and Joshua's Dream finishes fourth.
Well, there is not going to be a party trackside.
No, it's called Experiment Gone Bad.
Can we start drinking?
Yeah, that was an experiment gone bad. So I had that same feeling when I saw Tiger go from first to worst. 31 on the front 9 and came in dead freaking last like the Royal Punisher that day. That said, this is not about me. It's about Tiger. It's not about his putting, although he had 29 putts yesterday. It was about everything because he only had 8 greens in regulation. Quote, I was just off. It happens. Preach, Cat. To quote the man himself, it does happen. It happens to us all. It
happens to us all.
But I have to disagree with the assessment that he was, quote, just off. Let me take a short time out and I'll finish that thought. Got a problem here now. That's a reminder of a guy with a bad back. Not a guy who had a bad week. A guy who had a bad week that still has a bad back. A guy who's 44 going on 54 with fused spines and countless surgeries. And don't look now, but the Masters is not that far away. How is this guy going to get right between now and then? When we come back.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
That is true. I am Jim Rome. Welcome back. Nice to have you. We are joined right now by a guard for Marquette. In fact, he leads the nation in scoring at 27.3 points per game. He is the Big East all-time leading scorer. He was an All-American last season. Big East Player of the Year. Named to the Wooden Award Top 20 list. A finalist for the Cousy Award. A finalist for the Senior Class Award and more. Marquette is 17-7. They're 7-5 in the Big East. They're number 19 in the AP poll. And they're at home tomorrow night. Big game against number 15, Creighton. Marcus Howard is my guest. Marcus, you and I spoke about a year ago. A lot has happened since then that I want to get into. But overall, how are you doing and how is life, Marcus?
I'm doing good, Jim. How about yourself?
Good.
On the show.
Good. It's great to have you back. I really appreciate it. All right, so you're coming off a tough 72-71 loss at number 15 Villanova Wednesday. The team fell behind early. You trailed by 18 in the second half, but nobody gave up on that game. You guys go on a run. You cut the lead to 3 with 43 seconds left. I guess what I'm getting at is the final result was not what you would have liked, but from a team standpoint, what were you able to take away that was positive from the way everybody stayed in the fight?
Yeah, you know, I think that's been kind of our identity this whole year. Though we wouldn't like to be in those situations late in games, we have a group of guys who, you know, fight to the finish. And, you know, we have to do a better job of executing down the stretch. But all in all, I think we have a group of guys who, like I said, don't want to give up. And, you know, we'll always fight to the end, that final buzzer sound. So that's a good thing to have, especially going into March. But we want to be sure that we're not getting ourselves in those situations to where we have to find ourselves fighting back. Like an 18-point deficit like our last game.
Marcus Howard, my guest. All right, during that game, you broke the all-time record for points scored in Big East games. Again, I'm sure you would have preferred for that to happen during a win, but when you consider the history of that conference, what's it mean to you to hear your name mentioned as the all-time leading scorer?
No, it's a tremendous honor. It's a blessing, but it's one that I couldn't do alone. You know, so many greats have come before me, and to even be mentioned among those names is an honor in itself, but this is something I wouldn't be able to achieve without, you know, my teammates and my coaches, you know, just helping me always be in great positions to succeed. They allow me to, you know, let me be myself who I am as a player. And, you know, when they give me supreme confidence like that, you know, it definitely helps me play with a different type of ease, a different type of peace. So I think when I'm able to play that way and, you know, my teammates believe in me, my coaches believe in me, it really works well for not only myself, but for our team. But like I said, you know, I wouldn't be able to do that with any of them.
We were talking to Marcus Howard. Now, speaking of the team, Marcus, there was a stretch in early January where the team dropped 3 of 4, but since then you've won 6 of 8, and the two losses were in overtime, each by 1 point. So how much has this group grown over the course of the season?
I think we've grown a lot. You know, I think we learned through adversity, and I think we kind of embraced that. You know, I think a lot of teams could, you know, succumb or, you know, kind of crumble under that adversity when they're faced with it. But I think it just helps us grow closer together as a team. And I think when we're a team that's able to do that through adversity, you know, we're going to see that in stretches of games. But I think us being able to fight through those times together is what's going to really help us down the stretch. So I think the growth has come, you know, from a lot of ups and downs. But when we face, you know, tough times, we never hang our heads. You know, we kind of come together and grow closer as a team, and I think that's what makes teams, especially down the stretch of March.
Yeah, Marcus, speaking of growth, you were just 17 years old when you arrived at school, and you had moved 1,700 miles from home. That's a really dramatic change in terms of lifestyle. What was that time like for you, and then what did you learn about yourself as a result?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely one of the toughest things having to do, you know, being in college so young. But like I said before, you know, being at Marquette, we have so many great people that have helped me in so many ways, not only on the court but off. And it really just helped me kind of grow. I needed to grow, and I think that was the choice of why I chose Marquette, was because I needed to get out of my comfort zone and kind of experience life and becoming a man on my own. And I was able to do that in my first couple years and dealing with some tough times. And I think those tough times have helped shape me into the person and player that I am today. So without those, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. But I've learned, you know, a lot. I've learned, you know, I've learned patience, I feel like. I feel like I'm a lot more of a patient person and a patient player. And, you know, there's so many things I've learned from so many people. But, you know, being around our coaching staff and our players and, you know, just the people in our program, you know, they're such great people. There's no brand of people like the brand of people at Marquette. So I'm truly fortunate to be in the place I'm at. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Marcus Howard, my guest. He leads the nation in scoring, plays his ball at Marquette. You know, that kind of leads me into the next point. You could have entered the NBA after last season, but you decided to come back to school. What was that process like for you? And then ultimately, what brought you back?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough decision, you know, in terms of looking at the grand scheme of things. But, you know, I prayed a lot about it. You know, I talked with my coaches, my family. And, you know, the best thing for me, I felt, was to come back and, of course, get my degree. You know, I want to be sure that I finished what I started in the classroom, but also finishing what I started on the basketball court. I felt the way we ended our season last year was not one how I wanted to end my career at Marquette. And, you know, to have another year to get better as a player, to grow on and off the court, but then also, you know, trying to help my team and put us in a great position, you know, to reach and achieve all the things that we want to achieve. And, you know, that's to go to the tournament and, you know, to make a run. That's something I've always dreamed about. And so to have one more year to do that, I think I'm extremely blessed to have that opportunity, especially with this group of guys, because we have a really great group of guys who truly care about each other and, you know, will fight for each other. So just to have another year to be able to kind of right some wrongs that we did last year, it's something that I was really looking forward to, and just to get better as a player as well.
Marcus Howard, my guest. See, the thing is, you're leading from the front, but not only on the floor, but off it as well. You knew that when you came back to school, the spotlight was going to be on you, but you've been very clear from the outset that you want to be a servant leader who leaves a mark beyond basketball. We've talked about the impact your trip to Costa Rica had on you. How do you go about approaching that role as a servant leader?
Yeah, I think it goes back to just what Marquette represents as a whole. I mean, we always talk about being a servant leader and being a servant for others. So I think that just goes into our mantra as a school. And, you know, being around so many great people who are willing to serve and willing to give to others, I mean, it's really easy for me to be surrounded by that, to want to do it myself. You know, so I give a great credit to, you know, our president, Dr. Michael Lovell, and our athletic director and Bill Scholl, who, you know, set a tremendous foundation for us as student athletes to go out there and make a difference. And, you know, I think we have a group of student athletes all across our campus who are really, really invested in trying to make a difference, not only on the court or on the field, but off it as well. And, you know, for me to be able to do that from a basketball standpoint, it's truly an honor because, you know, our team is so selfless, you know, in terms of giving to the community, to those around us. So we truly find joy in doing that. And, you know, for me to be able to do it here in Milwaukee, a city that, you know, needs a lot of that kind of stuff away from the court, it's really cool. I mean, just to see the lives that could be changed through the game. And, you know, our impact really has speaks volumes to, you know, little kids who look up to us and things like that. So just to be here and be able to make a difference on and off the court is something that, you know, I'll truly always remember and truly always treasure.
Marcus Howard is my guest. You know, I just want to emphasize that point one more time because Maureen Lewis, who is the assistant director for academic services at Marquette, said, quote, peers listen to Marcus when he speaks about mental health or God moving in his life or participates in class or takes one more selfie when asked or says thank you to tutors or to us. There's not just a ripple effect. There's a groundswell. Others follow his example because it looks so easy, it's so organic, and because his leadership is inclusive, end quote. I mean, that's about as dramatic a thing as you could say about a young person as she said about you. I know you're not here to make it about you, but what's it mean to you to hear that and know that you have that kind of impact in inspiring so many others?
No, it's definitely, it means a lot to me. But I really just act on what I see. And, you know, what I see on a daily basis here at Marquette is, you know, so many people who give up their time for others. And, you know, when I see that, you know, it only makes you want to do it, you know, for others as well. So, I mean, I can only credit, you know, the people that I'm around. And, you know, I think, you know, actions speak louder than words. And, you know, a lot of people really act on what they say. And, you know, that's something that I've always, you know, truly believed and I've truly seen here on this campus. And so I'm just fortunate, you know, to be around so many great people that have impacted me to be a better person, a better player. And so that's been kind of just my overall growth is just seeing and watching and observing and then just being able to act on what I see. And that's just due to great influence.
Marquette's number 19. They've got number 15, Creighton, coming into their plays tomorrow. Before I let you go, last time you were on, we talked about the fact that you grew up in a really competitive family and the impact your brothers had on you. Your brother, Jordan, is playing pro ball, and it was recently announced that he's going into the Chandler Sports Hall of Fame. How proud are you of everything he's accomplished, and how much have you learned from him?
You know, I've learned so much from Jordan and Desmond as well, but Jordan specifically, you know, just the type of player he is, the type of person he is. You know, I could take he's the blueprint, in my opinion. You know, I take a lot of what he does as a player and as a person. You know, I try to emulate it in my life, but, you know, words can't describe how proud I am of him. You know, me and him have kind of been through it all together, and, you know, to see all he's doing, the success he's having, and then the impact he's having on others around him, you know, it's as a brother, you know, you couldn't be prouder. And, you know, everything he's getting, he's deserved, because he's been through so much that not many people know about, so many obstacles he's had to face that he's overcome. And, you know, it's inspiring. You know, as a brother, I look up to him in so many ways, not just as a basketball player, but as a person, because he truly conducts himself in a way that, you know, he makes our whole entire family proud. So he's, you know, the person I look up to most from a basketball aspect. And, you know, he's someone I always try to emulate on and off the court, because, you know, he's truly one of the best people I know and one of the best players I've ever played against. So, you know, I'm extremely proud. You know, I mean, anything he does, I'm proud of. And I know he's going to continue to kill it. He's in Puerto Rico right now. So he's going to just continue his journey, and he's going to continue to kill it like he always has been.
Beautiful thing to say about your brother. Last thought, you recently did a Twitter Q&A, and you were asked to name the favorite shot you've ever taken at Marquette. Obviously, is the Big East all-time leading scorer. You've hit a lot of big shots. You said your favorite, though, was the first shot that you took at Marquette, and it was one that you missed. What do you remember about that shot, and why is that shot so meaningful?
No, I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, I have a really good relationship with our strength and conditioning coach, Todd Smith, and he would always say, like, especially for freshmen, We wear white jerseys for home games, you know, primarily. And he would always tell the freshman, he goes, I hope you brought a pair of, like, dark socks, because his thing was always like, oh, freshmen are going to pee down their leg with nervousness for their first game.
Right.
And so I'll never forget that. He was telling me that before my first game. And he was just telling me, hey, make sure your first shot isn't, you know, an air ball or a brick off the side of the backboard. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, like, oh, my gosh, I hope that's not the case. But, of course, my first shot ever in a Marquette jersey is a shot. It leaves my hands right when it left my hands. I was like, oh, that's definitely not going in. It goes off one side of the backboard and clears off the other side. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a long career.
Wow.
And so it was one of those things where it was a miss, but it was one of those shots to where it brought me back to reality, you know, that though I was a 17-year-old kid thinking he knew everything, thinking he was got it all figured out, I had a lot of growing up to do. And I think that was the start of just a career of growth in my eyes. So my first shot, you know, at Marquette being a miss just really triggered in me that I was going to have to work extremely hard to get to the places that I wanted to go. And, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, my first shot was that, because, you know, I've really just credited myself and our team on working hard and really trying to just continue to get better on a daily basis. So that's kind of where that first shot and my favorite shot comes from, is it wasn't even a make. It was a miss, and it was a miss I will never forget.
It is a great, great story. He leads the nation in scoring at 27.3 points per game. He is the Big East all-time leading scorer. He was an All-American last season. Big East Player of the Year, Marquette 17-7-7-5. And they're at home against Creighton tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Marcus, another amazing conversation. So good to have you on the show. I really appreciate you, and it's great to talk to you once again.
You as well, Jim. I always appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
You're the best. Marcus Howard, I mean, literally the best. Like, the all-time leading scorer for that conference, and an amazing young man. It's a great line, too. Todd Smith, the strength and conditioning coach, saying, I hope you freshmen are packing dark socks, because some of you might be peeing down your leg. It's so good. Again, normally when something seems too good to be true, it is, but not Marcus Howard. He is that good of a guy. Great, great player. Great leader. Great foundation, great perspective. All right, hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We will come back with hour number two. Open segment at the top, then Mark Stein. Top of hour number three, Coach Ham. Leonard Hamilton will be joining us. I want to talk about the Astros next hour and Rob Manfred's interview about them. All of that still ahead. Don't go anywhere.